Hey everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of Indie Film Cafe. I am your old pal, the Moo Cow, and today we are joined by
Jonathan Moody. I one of the many co-hosts and guests of this podcast here.
Right, and we should also note that we are finally back in Indie Film Cafe studios here at Fort Monroe. And we will also be joined by
Just Jen.
Yay! One of our original co-hosts. Thank you very much. And we may be joined by another special guest star. We'll have to see. But this is our season 3 finale.
So we decided for the season 3 finale that we would invite Jen back, and reluctantly said yes, thanks. But
well, we had you in for a couple episodes this season, just not a lot, but we were going to have you in for the last one, and I did promise you it was not going to be Neil Breen, and I kept my promise.
Yes. I don't know how you did that. I know you fought it every bit of the way.
I really, really did. Yeah. But instead, we will be watching a movie called Curse of the Mummy Cat.
Curse of the Mummy Cat?
Curse of the Mummy Cat by Charles E. Cullen, who is a Virginia director.
Oh, wow. Poor guy.
Yay.
Yes.
How old is this one?
It's a funny thing you ask, because his website says it was released in 2007, and then I saw on another one it said 2010, and then the DVD says 2018, so...
The DVD was probably, that's when the DVD was released, probably. But.
So, you never know. It may have been released a couple of times on, because I think he did all his stuff originally on VHS.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's okay. So, that's definitely old school.
It is old school, and this is a special, special movie. I showed this to Gary, and he was knocked out. I was knocked out, and I knew I had to save it for you guys, so.
I'm sorry Gary can't be here to rewatch it.
I know. But that's okay.
I'm sure he's sorry, too.
So we will go on and listen to some mood music, and we will be back. And we are back. So...
Sadly, we're back.
So... We have been joined by our friend, Miss Paige, and she kind of decided she wanted to see this movie really, really badly, so who was I to say no? Hi, Paige.
Hello. I was so excited that you let me join in this wonderful, wonderful adventure with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what was the name of that adventure, Mr. Moody?
Curse of the Crappy Cat? I don't know. I don't know. I started to sleep through some of it.
Curse of the Mummy Cat. I know it was incredibly realistic and frightening and horrifying.
Horrifying is definitely the word.
I'll go with horrifying.
Yeah. So, what did you guys think?
Terrible. I thought it was awful. God, terrible.
Boring.
I could feel my brain cells exploding.
Like the dynamite in the movie. There's
so
probably a little more realistically than the dynamite.
Is there anybody who can possibly give an encapsulation, a small one, about what actually happens in Curse of the Mummy Cat?
No. Something happened in it?
Oh, there were lots of things that happened.
Yeah, I don't know how to, Paul, you never...
Between the Aztec aspect and the what was it, the Christian or the Catholic choir in the background, and then the... Western thing that they were trying to do.
Right.
Bandits on the fucking lawnmowers.
So,
green rolling hills of
Roanoke, yes. So this movie is supposed to be a mashup of a mummy horror movie and a spaghetti western.
Aztec mummy.
Yes, you know. So it's not just a mummy, it's an Aztec mummy. That's kind of where the joke is, but...
In a shitty tomb.
This is a joke that is beaten mercilessly into the ground for almost 2 hours.
Paul, what did you think of the archaeologists? Were they real enough for you?
No. Trust me. On a normal situation, I would have been appalled and would have been irritated and pissed off. But in this movie, everything else is so poor and terrible and awful that you couldn't even begin to address one piece.
Well, you know, because that's the one thing that I noticed whenever you watch movies, especially like movies that are supposed to be taking place in like the 50s or something. You see the archaeologists and they're saying all these stupid stuff, and you get frustrated generally by it because you're like, these are wrong. But those are people who are actually trying to make a real movie.
Makeshift tomb or pyramid, if you will.
I don't even know if this is what they were planning. No. This is, they were just like, let's cobble shit together and try to make something that remotely makes some sort of sense. It doesn't, but they tried.
So let me throw a little background here for you. So, Curse of the Mummy Cat is a movie from 2007/2010/2018, depending on what source you go to. And it was directed by Charles E. Cullen from Roanoke, Virginia. He is an actor, producer, director. He did the FX, cinematography, and editor. I know it's hard to believe that one talent could pull all this together.
No, that just totally makes sense.
I get it.
And in this particular film, he is playing the man with no name, the bounty hunter.
Could he get sued for that? I don't know if that's so. Copyright or anything.
I don't think so.
That's Clint Eastwood's name in every of those movies. So.
It's a Western trope, though. I don't think he has to worry about that. But previous movies that Mr. Cullen has done with Cullen Studios, which, by the way, has been putting out movies for 20 years, I think, from short films, all kinds of stuff. But other movies include Night of the Bums, Killer Clowns from Kansas on Crack, Slaughter Claws, Bros on Bikes, and Mr. Stitches, which is a movie about an evil puppet.
Evil puppet.
And in fact, there's an awful, awful lot of puppets in most of his films.
There was a person that we thought might have been a puppet because he was...
Yes.
We'll get to that later.
So, Mr. Cullen is an ex-chicken farmer, so chickens also tend to feature prominently in his films, like this one.
So you haven't seen any of the other films. Like, how do you know that?
I went on Uncle Google, and I researched the hell out of it as much as I could. And he's got a website. I went there and tried to get as much information as I could. But there's not a whole lot out there because he's just indie releasing his self-releasing stuff.
I'm surprised that you haven't, right after you watched this movie, you didn't run out and buy all the other ones.
I would love to.
Assuming he didn't? He said he didn't before, so he doesn't have any of the other ones yet.
They are coming. I'm not sure which one, and I'm not sure when, but they are coming. Trust me. Because Mr. Cullen certainly has a particular style, and, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I think it's a lot of fun. It's terrible, it's horrible, it's ridiculous, but I enjoyed the heck out of it.
I don't know how. But all right,
it's funny on Celluloid Massacre. The guy who writes that he calls Cullen's movies, he calls them a hillbilly John Waters. I think of more of along the lines of a hillbilly Nick Zedd. I haven't shown you a Nick Zedd movie, but this is about the same level.
Well, John Waters is a little nicer to call somebody, you know, like. That's a compliment, you know. This guy deserves insults, you know.
Well, the reason I believe this movie happened is apparently somebody gifted two actual mummy cats to Charles Cullen, and stroke of genius, let's make a movie based on these two. I mean, if somebody's going to give you a couple of mummy cats...
And this is the shit that he came up
with? You got to come up with a movie around it. I mean, you know...
So say no to the mummy cats. It's not a gift I
want. I would definitely call him a hillbilly, was Neil Breen, for sure.
There you go.
You know, he kind of deserves. I think even I would watch a Neil Breen movie over this again. Well,
there's still a debate as to whether Neil Breen actually understands that his movies are terrible.
I don't think this guy does either.
I'm pretty sure he knows. He pretty much knows. I just don't think he cares. I think he's one of those guys who's just going to make his movie and it doesn't really matter to him who likes it, who doesn't, or what.
I wish I had that kind of mentality to literally just not give a fuck.
Exactly. There's something to sort of be impressed with about somebody who just puts out stuff whether anybody wants it there or not. I get it.
If this was a little bit better, okay. That's...
I wouldn't ever say I was impressed by anything that this guy... Like, this movie does not impress me at all.
Well, it's not like it's not without flaws. I mean, the whole movie is a flaw. But the problem is that, like I said, this... And I think you pointed out earlier, you said this would have been a funny short. I think it would have been a funny 45-minute movie.
Right.
But it's way... It's just, you know...
Yeah, it overstays its welcome.
Way overstays its welcome. Scenes, for example... are extended beyond any kind of logic. I mean, there's no reason to show the same things over and over and over and over and over. We get it. That happens in spaghetti movies. You don't have to keep doing it over and over and over and over and over.
So now, you said that this has been around, he's been doing this for, what, 20 odd years? And that he used to be a chicken farmer?
Mm-hmm.
His name is what now?
Charles E. Cullen.
Charles. Go back to the chickens.
Yes. The chickens were your best job. Right
actually,
there.
Actually, from what I understand, he has written a number of children's books, and one of them is called Chicken Truck.
Okay. Anyway.
Why do I have more hope for the children's books?
Yeah, well... I don't have any hope for him at all.
Well, he writes his dialogues that would fit in a children's book.
Maybe.
And the man is a musician. He makes his own songs. Some of the other folks who are in there are also people who play musical instruments and things. And if you go and you look, he has a number of songs on the internet, primarily on YouTube, including Young Gay Monkey on Roller Skates.
What?
I Have a Rare Poultry Disease. Death Row Chicken, and I Wish I Was a Woman. These are four examples of songs that he has.
Wait. He wrote a song about chickens? Is he obsessed with chickens?
He was a chicken farmer, as you do.
I mean, Paul, we already told you that you need professional help, but I think this guy is beyond that point.
You see, maybe. I think I'm on the same wavelength as Mr. Cullen.
Oh, God. If Paul directed a movie, he'd want to do something like Radioactive Cows or something, you know?
Yes. Give him ideas.
No, these are things he's already said. Like, they're already ideas planted in his head, you know?
And
keep
like
them Paul.
Lots and lots and lots of puppets. And as a matter of fact, if you go to his website, and we're going to make sure to include the link there, because I know everybody out there is dying to see this. You can order the movies. You can see all kinds of stuff. There's little clips from other things. There's songs you can download. There's art. There's all kinds of stuff.
Art?
Oh, yeah, there's art there,
too. There's chicken art?
There's all sorts of art. And there's a whole bunch of different puppets that he's used on different things. He has done a number of shows, and as a matter of fact, he is doing a cult-themed movie show in Roanoke called Theater of Fright. And I believe it comes on twice or three times a month, and there's a website you can go for that.
So none of his movies will be on it?
I'm not 100% sure.
I hope not.
I think they're the kind of movies that we otherwise would be doing.
Yeah, like the ones that we do for Davila, they're like old public domain movies.
And then his stuff's not going to be on it.
Yeah.
Well, there is fright in this. I was kind of frightened when I first saw it, but for very different reasons.
I was frightened for my sanity.
Yeah. I was frightened for your brain, too.
Yes. My goodness. And so some of the other folks who appear in this, Kenny Hicks, who is an actor who's been in just about all of his things. He's also doubles as a cinematographer from time to time. There's David Hawkins, who's an actor and singer who also composes his own songs, but also helps compose some of the music here. Janet Lubas is the production assistant, also was an editor. She was the one with the glasses that you thought you saw, you recognized her before. I believe she's actually gone off and moved to New York to do her own thing. And I thought that Leith Marrow was the redhead, but it turns out it's somebody else. So she's who actually, I believe, is his current co-host for that movie show. So I'm not sure who that was. But I believe most of these folks pretty much work in Cullen's movies, and that's about it. You know how these folks will have these little individual independent directors will have their little troop of people that they tend to work with over and over and over.
Was that line in Ed Wood where he was like, if I wouldn't have any friends if I were picky or anything like that? That's what it's like with this guy. This guy's like, I'm not, you know, he just uses his friends for all his all his films.
Sure. I mean, I've been to Roanoke maybe once. There's not a whole lot out there to do, so why not make sort of drug-fueled, strange, weird, wackadoodle horror movies with puppets and strange special effects and God knows what chickens? Why not? You know? I don't know. I mean, that's your area. You like that area.
I like Roanoke. I was like, I thought there was plenty to do in Roanoke.
And didn't you say you recognized parts of it in some scenes?
Yeah. Yeah. So she enjoyed it. Now she's gonna look at it differently.
No.
I hope not.
So gosh, where do we begin talking about various parts of the film?
I guess we could go with cast. Start with cast. So. I don't know none of the names, and I don't even know character names. Barely, other than the man with no name, there was like, and the witch. Like, there was no. And
Toucan Bandman.
Toucan Bandman. That was the worst name ever. But I don't, like, yeah. And I did not know that was the monster or whatever. I thought it was supposed to be the mummy cat, just grown big. But no, that was the human as a. Thing. I don't know.
Remember the cat was Sir Don
Senor Don Gatto.
Right. So Toucan Bandman, I guess, is a chicken farmer who is also a street performer who bangs a couple of cans on the streets of Roanoke and people give him pennies. And that's how he feeds his livestock, and it's said, and during the song, because there's a Spanish woman singing the exposition for this.
Señor Don Gato was a cat on a high red roof. Don Gato sat. He went there to read a letter, meow meow meow. Where the reading life was better, meow meow meow.
As you do in certain spaghetti westerns. Apparently an unhappy man named Don, I think?
Bob.
That's right. Bob came in, and unhappy Bob pulls out a gun and sort of points it vaguely in the general direction of Toucan Bandman. And then there's some special effects, and apparently he's shot in the forehead.
Special. Quote, unquote.
Oh, it's very special. It's short bus special in this movie. So Toucan Bandman dies, and his lovely Aztec family, extremely accurate Aztec family, in their jean coveralls, they mummify him, as you do, and they wrap him up and they stick him in what can only politely be described as a chicken shack. Mm-hmm. Yes, a cardboard or plywood chicken shack. The front of which has been altered to sort of look like kind of like a stone sarcophagus.
Tomb or something.
With some fake bats on there.
Yeah.
And so they leave his ass in there with the chickens. And they go away. And then
put the mummy cat inside.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that's right, because the cat in the song dies.
The cat died of grief.
Grief, right.
Died of grief.
His cat was different from the cat in the song.
Yeah.
Right.
Apparently.
Yeah, because he had this cat. He loved his cat. Cat dies. They sew the cat up. The mummy cat. The mummy cat that was gifted to him, one of them. They shove his ass in there.
Yeah.
And then they leave in there with
the
chickens.
That was the grossest thing, too. Yeah. Just like that. I did not like that at all.
I mean,
all.
It was so fake looking.
I know, but it was so, like, I'm
not
sorry.
The mummy cats.
No.
Yeah, those
are real, but...
Oh, yeah.
Putting it into the body was fake, but it still looked
made
disgusting
you a little
doing
squeamish.
It. Yeah.
Well, he'll probably be very happy to hear that you got wigged out by that.
The body just looked like Jell-O, or like those candies that they give out during Halloween that are supposed to look like fingers or this film.
It could very well be. No, but so yeah, he puts them in the shack, and then two archaeologists, air quote, who are wandering around.
Dressed in normal, like regular, like they don't look like what you would normally see archaeologists wearing right. in these type of films. Which
was there supposed to be a timeline for this?
No.
Yeah, some of the Roanoke stuff looks like Roanoke, you know.
Sure.
Some of the.
Well, it all looks like Roanoke.
Well, yeah, but then other places they're supposed to look like, you know, like the West or whatever.
Yeah, no, there's. I was going to get to time as far as how it was presented, but yeah, it's a mess. It's a total mess. But anyway, so the archaeologists show up, and I love how they, you know, there's this CGI Aztec step pyramid there, this big, huge thing, as if that's what's supposed to actually be there, and they've been digitally added, and you can see all the little pixelations there because it's terrible. And then you're back to the chicken coop.
Yeah, we forgot to mention before when they put the body in the tomb, they had to go sideways.
Yes.
That was one of the funniest bits in it, too.
Waiting for the chickens to come out.
Just because it looked like an outtake that they just left in the movie.
Dude, the whole movie is an outtake. It's like, keep rolling.
It's like, you know, we don't want to miss a single frame of this.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so they actually have to turn the mummy on its side and squeeze his ass into through the doors.
Well, the guy carrying the front had to squeeze the door as well. It didn't open, but a couple inches.
It was very funny. I heed mm-hmm. an awful lot. So, yeah, the archaeologists go in there, and they decide that this is a big find, and especially since they pull the mummy cat out of his chest, and they say, we're going to go ahead and put this in the museum. And when that happens, that's what triggers... Okay, so that's what triggers the mummy, Toucan Bandman mummy, to come to life. Now, why he's suddenly gigantic and furry, I have no idea.
Probably because they couldn't make it. Like, they couldn't actually make the person become a real person like that, you know. Because it had to be, a lot of it had to be, what is it, not CGI, but...
Claymation,
yeah. So a lot of it was claymation, and they probably couldn't make a human claymation thing.
$30 will only stretch so far.
Right. So they're like, you know, they probably went...
They used all the G.I. Joes and stuff.
I know. So they were looking at, like, the G.I. Joes or whatever. They probably had a abominable snowman, you know, because I thought, I was like, this looks like a Yeti.
The very first time I saw this, I was confused because... I didn't understand about the monster either. I thought this was suddenly a Yeti movie or a Abominable Snowman movie.
And the second time, were you still not confused? Because
no, I made a little more sense the second time around. I have to I have to admit.
And you know what's kind of funny is I bet you didn't even bat an eye. You're like, oh, okay, now there's a Yeti there.
Yeah, no, because that's how...
With two guns, by the way.
Yeah,
that just seems like something that Paul would just be like, you know what, okay. I'm in.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
It didn't cost you a penny either, and you still are proud to have that.
Oh, hell yeah. I bought this, and I'm happy. So, yeah, the archaeologists kind of set this whole thing in motion.
Exactly. They will pay us handsomely for this hideous artifact.
Let's go.
And things and stuff happen. There are these other folks who come in. There are these banditos who are riding lawnmowers. Then the man with no name comes. That's Charles E. Cullen himself. And there's all this stuff that's kind of like old Western, spaghetti Western stuff that's drama that's thrown in there. And, you know, like I said, it's that part of the joke of the film just gets really kind of hammered a lot. And you end up getting lost because it really doesn't make any sense. And
I mean, you get lost because the movie makes no sense, period, like throughout the whole...
Right.
Freaking thing. Like, I mean,
I mean, at one point, he's supposed to see the witch of the Spanish witch, but the Spanish witch is the one who told him to see the Spanish witch? Is that how that worked?
No, there was some Spanish lady that he talked to, and he understood Spanish when he talked to her, and then he eventually went and found the Spanish witch in the cabin, who apparently had some other white guy who was an interpreter for her, and she had all the little bats on the string that kept flying around.
Yes, the little bat rubber bats on a string.
The fireplace that kept going on and off for no fucking reason. And then, so, you know, the what's-his-face with the no name goes in there, talks to the Spanish witch who's, like, you know, just chilling in her fucking rocking chair. And then the interpreter dude is having to interpret her as she's speaking Spanish when he understood the Spanish coming from the other lady who told him to go there. Which confused the hell out of me.
But it shouldn't, because they did the entire scene twice.
They did, yeah. With and without subtitles.
I know, it's so funny. It's like, dude, you just told us this. You just told us that too.
It was very slowly. That's,
Everything is very, very slowly.
I'll wait till we get to the stunning dialogue.
And that is kind of the biggest flaw amongst many flaws. Even though this is a movie that is wallowing in flaws and enjoying its flaws, this flaw you can't really enjoy. The fact is that they use the same things over and over and over, and it's the padding and the repetition and stretching things out way beyond any kind of enjoyment. You know what I mean?
What is worse than a spaghetti western? This bullshit.
Yeah, because you can take a scene and you can comically extend it to the point where, haha, it's funny, normally this would be over with, but we're this goes way, 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 way beyond that. It's torture. It's torment. You guys were moaning and groaning in such feeble, heartbreaking ways that it was...
heartbreaking.
It really. I mean, part of me was ashamed. Part of me felt shame for showing...
No, you didn't.
That's only a part
Lies.
Of me. The other part of me was like, yes.
We got that from you sitting over there clapping your hands and going, yes!
I know, seriously. You just enjoyed... You reveled in...
Poor Paige! This is her first movie with us, and this is the one she got into.
I forgot to mention that earlier.
She got into... You brought on...
Yeah. You dragged her here. Jeez.
I didn't drag her. She was interested in showing up.
I came here to meet him.
Oh. I appreciate that,
Paige.
I came
here to meet Moody.
Oh.
You mean Mummy Cat was not on the top of your agenda?
No.
Now she might not be back. I don't know.
I think you've ruined this first impression of me. Oh. For both of them.
This was such a great film. I don't know how you can say that.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Hey, look, I don't pick these kind of things.
You found the movie. Tell them. You found
okay,
it.
Okay, all right. So, I forgot to mention the story.
There you go.
So,
give me a gun. It's going off.
So, yeah, there's a story here with that. I was in Dark Delicacies in Burbank, California. I was looking around. I was waiting for my friend Mackenzie to get there. And so I was just checking out the movies they had, and I saw it. It was like $20 or something. It was like ridiculously priced. And I was like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to buy this. But I was like, Paul, is this something? I think it was this and another movie. And I probably would have rather watched the other movie, whatever the other one was. But you go, oh, wow, I'll have to look that. And you bought both of them.
He sent me pictures of it. And as soon as I saw it, I went, swing, this is right up my dark, scary alley. I've got to find out. And when I went online and looked... And
it was much cheaper.
It was much cheaper, but, you know, the what reaction was out there definitely said, this is a movie that we had to get. And I finally got it, and my friend Gary, who's been on the show, came and watched it with me. And we kind of expected it to be kind of a wacky, fun, crappy movie. We had no idea. No earthly idea.
It was unearthly.
Like this. And at the end, we were just like flabbergasted, absolutely flabbergasted. And we looked at each other and we're like, yes, this is so great.
I know. But see, notice Gary's not here.
I know.
He knew
Gary knew what movie you were doing and decided, yeah, it's okay. I'll stay up here.
If you talked to Gary right now, he would have said, I would wish I was there. I had so much fun with that.
Yeah.
He would wish he was here so he could watch us being tortured by you.
Well, there's that too.
Be torturing us too, because Gary loves these kind of, you know, these movies as well.
Right. I don't think I'm going to like him then.
No, you will. He's... If you like Paul, you'll love Gary.
I don't know if I like Paul.
Come on, Gary. It's okay. You survived.
I mean, I can't like you either now after this because you're the one that gave him.
Oh, that's true. Well, sorry.
It's the root of all evil here.
I know. I started it all.
So, dare we talk about special effects?
No. No.
So, before we trash the movie, because it was really bad and had really bad effects, I want to say that the scenes that were the stop motion, only the stop motion, that didn't include any fake backgrounds or anything, I thought were pretty well done.
Yes.
This was a kid's movie with stop motion. I'd be like, okay, it's kind of cheesy, but I thought it was, you know...
They did very well with the stop motion.
Yeah.
I'll give them that. Like, if they kept more with the stop motion, like, if it was all stop motion,
that could have been
cool.
Stop motion and puppets together, that would have been fun.
Yeah, that would have been fun. It would have been neat.
It had, like, a robot chicken vibe to it.
Right. And
I appreciate it.
Maybe, like, maybe a short. Seconds. I don't know if I could watch. I don't really like stop motion that much. To like, I couldn't watch a whole feature.
Stop
I could watch a short.
Or this movie.
Well, and let's face it, guys. Stop motion is not cheap, and it's time. It's laborious. It's time consuming.
Especially to make it good.
So, in order to even have this there, I appreciate the effort that went into making what it is that we saw there. It's not easy, and that's one of the reasons why you tended to see the same bits over and over and over and over and over because it's just expensive and time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was very, very jarring. When juxtaposed with the rest of the film, it just does not fit.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to just say, we're making a weird, crappy movie, we don't care.
All right.
Which is exactly what they said, I'm sure.
Pretty sure.
But squibs. There were an awful lot of blood squibs in this film.
Ones that, like, kept going. Like, it was like, and somebody, they threw a knife or something and it went like that.
Right.
I'm like, that doesn't happen. Like, blood doesn't spew out like that when you get hit with a knife.
Right.
You know, it comes out the chest, but it doesn't go out the back, you know?
Right. Joke is it's supposed to be, okay, a lot of spaghetti westerns have this sort of thing. However, again, the joke is belabored. It's flogged like a mummified horse. It's been dead. It's dead, Jim. Okay? It's dead. And you could have done 10 minutes of that and it would have been fine. But it is so much of it in the film. It's punishing. Absolutely punishing.
So you said that they beat a dead cat. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Dead cat. But they beat a dead horse right there with us.
Horse.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, they did. My goodness.
The dead thing in the film was actually the cats, the mummy cats.
Right,
because the people that kept getting shot and kept getting knives thrown at them and blown up kept coming back to life.
Yeah, you'll notice
They just didn't die.
They didn't die. They bled a lot, but they didn't die.
You'll notice that the three lawnmower banditos do get ambushed and shot. I think two of them died.
I thought they died.
Two of them do, and then they all three come back.
And they don't explain that at all. Like, if there was, like, some scene, at least, with them, you know, showing them come back up, like, as if they were, like, zombies or something, that would have been zombie banditos riding lawnmowers, man. There's a movie.
It would have taken 30 more minutes to show.
That's true.
Maybe there's a director's cut out there that we can get for us.
Jen's out.
Nope, I quit.
Well, the thing is, again, you know, there's the joke in there, spaghetti westerns are like this, but you don't have to just push that way, 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 way beyond the funny point. You know, there's a point where a joke no longer becomes funny and it becomes torment.
You know, Family Guy knows a lot about that at times because they will do a joke and it'll go on and on and on. But they think, but their idea is that it becomes funnier. You know, after it becomes like that, it just actually becomes funny.
Right.
They do it well. This
point.
Maybe tried that, but failed miserably.
Well, and then the other thing is it's a very fine line between parodying spaghetti westerns and just being sloppy.
That's hard
to tell sometimes. And the thing with the three banditos coming back again felt more like sloppy than sloppy editing.
Well, no, it made no sense. Like, because they were shot, and I could pretty much tell they were dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, so that one got off and left, right? Like, the one got in the llama.
Right.
So I was like, okay, so one of them survived. You see all three of them again, and I'm like, that's a little weird. Like, There's no explanation of that. Like,
so there are definitely some continuity errors.
Some?
A bunch of continuity errors. Some of which are going to be intentional, okay? We fully understand that. But others, it's really difficult to tell, and I tend to think, based on what I've seen, that some of them are just not, they just weren't planned out very, very well.
Yeah.
Other special effects to talk about are things like the explosions.
Those were fun.
they were clearly not even close to being exploded. I mean, we kind of made fun a little bit of Dave Waskovich and his sort of, you know, 16-bit Casio special effects on a few of his movies.
Right.
It's this level or worse.
It was worse. Like, I honestly was having wonderful flashbacks in my head of Suburban Sasquatch with the Sasquatch. Well, no, I was thinking Suburban Sasquatch with the Sasquatch grabbing the car and stuff, you know. And I'm like, that was done better, you know, than this movie, like, honestly.
And there was a lot less of it in Suburban Sasquatch. This, I mean, clearly he's making, you know, a flaw into a, you know, trying to make that into a positive thing.
Or it reminds me of a Twisted Pair where, you know, you see them flying through the air or, you know, going to the, you know, was it the building, going in the building and having all those people follow. Yep, exactly. Like, he's jumping from building to building and it's just ridiculous and stuff. That's what this movie
Although
is
it
like.
It didn't have the little fake rats looking at people.
Son of a bitch. It's a mummified cat.
We were talking about the special effects, we were talking about the explosions, we were talking about all the guns, and there were a number of very fake-looking shells that were ejected from guns, and the guns change all the time. There's rifle, then a shotgun, then something else. You go from paper shells to, you know, metal shells, and it doesn't seem to really matter. Again, it's hard to tell if they're being intentional or not. If they're not being intentional, it's really, really bad. If they are, then they pounded that joke far, far, far more than it needed to be.
Right.
That's a ton of fake gun sounds.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Just over exaggerated fake sounds.
Cartoonish.
Yeah, and that's just it. This is bordering on the level of just being a live-action cartoon.
Uh-huh.
Where everything is just totally over exaggerated and parodied, and it just
felt Looney Tunes ish. Like,
right.
It did. It like has a moment.
Oh, don't you dare put Looney Tunes into.
Well, no, I feel like they tried to mimic it, you know, in some way or whatever.
You don't see Animaniacs in this?
No.
You know, I like that. You know,
Animaniacs is a gem. This was trash.
That's true.
Oh dear. Are you saying you didn't like this movie?
No, Paul, I didn't.
You didn't even like the bats?
No. Okay, no, the bats were funny, but the rest of it, no.
They were funny.
Oh, my God.
But they weren't good.
No. You know? I just kind of like watching them bounce up and down. Because they would just appear out of nowhere for 5 seconds.
Exactly.
And then they used it over and over and over.
Yeah. Just random bats.
Yeah, so special effects were a problem.
Uh-huh.
If they had gone a little less with that, and not so overboard, it would have been funny, but it would have been more acceptable, more palatable. But it was just too much. And then using the same shots over and over and over, so that these people died, quote unquote, forever.
Am I the only one that recalls the scene where they had the? Well, I think it was a woman running through the woods with the weird curly blood red wig on, and like she was had the. And then it was a very piss poor death scene on the green screen.
Right, right.
That was where did that fit into all this?
That was the Toucan Ban Man Mummy rage. He was off raging because he didn't have his buddy Senior El Gato.
So he didn't have his
Don Gato.
He didn't have Don Gato, and yet so he was just killing random people. But like the woman wanted to fight him. For what reason? Like, I mean, if I saw a huge...
She was trying to run away from him.
Right.
I thought at first she was trying to fight him. I thought there was like a...
She was. She had a stick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She had a stick and she was kind of whacking in the general direction.
And then he just like picks her up like King Kong style and just...
Bonk, bonk on the head and eats her.
No, yeah. That's the first thing that you want to do when you see a knockoff of the Abominable Snowman out in the woods, is you want to sit there and try and fight it off in a fake lightsaber battle with sticks.
Right.
And that's what it reminded me of. You're too young, but there was a Christmas claymation special. I don't know if it was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or Reindeer, whatever it was, but it had a fake, really bad claymation Yeti on there. That's what
Rudolph
this reminded me.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had the one? Abominable Snowman.
Yeah, that's it. Tell me that didn't look just like that.
No, that one was better.
Right, I mean...
I have all of those on DVD.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Come on now.
You know, she might be younger, but I think... I feel like she's got an old soul here, you know?
Fair enough.
You just don't bring my age into this. You already know my favorite films.
That's come true. Come on now. But... Yes, so I don't know. Maybe that was an homage to that. It's hard to tell.
That was a travesty.
So are you saying this movie will not be one of your favorite films?
No.
Associated with Christmas from here on out?
I already told you my thoughts on this earlier. I would not even wipe my ass with the script that this was made from. I appreciate the enthusiasm, but no.
There is a definite level of enthusiasm in the way that this movie was filmed that I find... somewhat charming. You can tell they know that this movie is crap and they don't care. They're making it anyway.
Oh, no, and I applaud them for that.
Full steam ahead.
So you don't want to be in Curse of the Mummy Cat 2?
No.
What about Curse of the Mummy Squirrel? We could give you a little squirrel outfit.
We're not doing this. Don't put my our company into this.
That was your fault. Sure. You did it again. You put the idea into his head. And
you did it again.
I know.
You just made it worse.
I did. I keep doing that.
Everything John comes up with, I can make worse.
The master and the instrument. You both are terrible.
See, Paige, you're fitting right in just like I knew you would.
I don't know if that's a compliment.
I mean, Jen fits in. She doesn't necessarily like it.
My keys right in my pocket.
She's ready to book it.
Hey, I promised you no Neil Breen, and this.
Now she's regretting that. She's like, bring me Neil Breen again.
Please compare the two, just for a moment.
This is worse.
Oh wow. Yes, you found this worse than.
This one is worse because I mean Neil Breen was dumb and boring, and I feel like the dialogue in this one had even less substance than Neil Breen.
There was substance?
No, but this has less.
So a negative amount.
Yeah. So the dialogue, just to give you an idea, the dialogue is set at the exact same speed in the Neil Breen movies as this. But the Neil Breen tries to bring in philosophical crap that he's sort of made up on the spot.
That's sort of more fun.
Yeah, Neil Breen makes pretty much the same movie over and over and over. Neil Breen is the greatest human in the world. He's a Superman who can do super things, and we are not. That's every
He's a god, basically, in his movies.
This is every single Neil Breen movie. I don't believe Charles Cullen is doing that here, although he does make himself the feature in most of these films. I think he's just taking the piss out of it and saying, I'm making a shitty movie, I'm going to be in it, it's my movie, and the heck with the rest of you, this is it. You know?
Exactly.
I don't think he's under any exaggeration.
I don't think he ever expected anybody to watch these.
Well, there is that. But like I said, he's got a website that is chock full of stuff. I'm very impressed by it. And if you turn into a Charles E. Cullen fan, as I'm sure you guys will, you can go to the website that I'll make sure is on our website page to link, and you can get all sorts of stuff.
Got to put his name down for an Oscar in every category.
There you go.
In every category. Because literally, the dude does everything. I was joking in the beginning when we were looking at the long-ass credits that took like 20 minutes to get through. And there was like, he goes, was it, I don't know if he did casting by, but he did like editing by, and I was like, oh, is he going to do everything? Then music by, story producing by, story by. Written and direct, you know.
Because you might be confused. You might think somebody else came up with this story.
I mean, I feel like this should be riff tracked, you know, at some point. I don't know.
I think this is the reason, one of the reasons I'm picking is because this is literally one of the movies riff tracks will not do. They're not going to touch this with a 10-foot pole.
So this is worse than anything riff tracks would never even do.
It's, well, the thing is, this is not a movie that you could sit down and make jokes about because the movie is the joke. There's nothing to really, you know, you just let it go and you just watch it. You're not going to make jokes about
it. It's not funny. It's pathetic.
That goes to the whole thing of, we were talking earlier of you sitting there just seeing this big fucking, was it a claymation, abominable snowman and going, all right. This is how it's going to be. Right, I'm just going to just shut my brain off, which is what you should have done. Shut your brain off, because otherwise you're going
to
lose it.
What
this
about...
This was my first time here. I wanted to try, and I regret it. Sincerely.
You did a really good job. You didn't leave.
You did. I'm very proud of you,
We've had people leave.
You
soldiered
on.
I can't leave. He's my ride.
That's true.
Hardcore. But what about the acting? What did you guys think about the acting?
There wasn't any.
What acting? I mean, no, the best acting was the little girl.
Yeah, the little girl was
she
really
was
good.
She was adorable.
Yes.
So, but is
they
that...
They totally dubbed over
her. They totally dubbed over her, which they were doing so, she was doing so well, and then he walked in,
and he
ruined it.
See, she was speaking too fast.
But see, I like that. That's probably how she talks, you know?
But I mean, is that bad acting the function of this is part of the parody, or is it just you think these guys don't really know what they're doing?
I don't think they know. They definitely don't know what they're doing. I don't think any of it's a parody, dude. Like, I think all of it is, like, this guy tried to make something that he thought might actually be an interesting idea for a movie, and then just failed every step of the way down.
It's possible. I wish I had more of his work so that I could compare it, because think about it. The first time you saw Neil Breen, you really weren't sure what to sort of believe.
Fateful Findings.
Right. That's how I was. And I'm like, okay, is this sort of the way he consistently puts out material? Or is this just a one-off, let's make a fun, weird, wacky movie? Same thing with this guy. I need to have more of a context before I can see whether this is just complete failure or if this is just him fucking around and having fun and
that's
doing a parody.
One of the biggest problems right now is that you're sitting there watching this and, you know, without the context of his other films, you're just kind of sitting here thinking, this is just so bad that there's no way that this could have been done on purpose.
Well, the reason I have hope and why I think this is just more parody stuff is that, again, go back and listen to some of the songs that he's done.
Well,
I mean,
right.
I Have a Rare Poultry Disease, Gay Monkeys on Roller Skates. I mean, come on.
Or there was, the movies, other movie titles he had, something about Kansas on Crack or whatever.
Right.
You know,
Killer Clowns from Kansas on Crack.
Right.
The story can be a parody, but I don't think the acting or any of that was. I think that all of that was legitimately bad.
And there is a big difference between theoretical comedy that you're trying to do and what you actually perform, what you actually achieve.
Yeah, because like comedy's hard. You
yes,
know,
it,
it really is. And it's not just in the writing, it's in the delivery, it's in all of that stuff. If you have terrible actors that are maybe just your friends and that's cool, like this is something that you just put with your friends and you never show anybody, that's all right. If you go and put this out to the world to show and it's this bad,
right,
that's
right.
Gonna...
And we've had this conversation. Comedy is extremely hard because what's funny to me may not necessarily be funny to you or definitely may not be funny to you. And
that's because I just don't like comedy.
Well, there's that too. There are people who just don't like comedy.
Yeah,
but
that's fine.
You can take a parody, you can stretch it as far as you can go, but there's a certain point at which you cannot press that anymore and expect it to be funny.
And
it's gone. And this... He hit that point and stomped all over it.
I will tell you this. I didn't intentionally laugh. Every laugh that was here was unintentional. Was not like planned laugh. Like was like, what the fuck is going on? This is so funny because this is stupid and bad. That's the only laughter I got. There was no funny lines in the movie. Everybody was saying everything like straight and normal and, you know, with no jokes, you know.
They weren't actually saying it.
Oh, that's who was like was.
It wouldn't surprise me if Charles Cullen did all the voices.
All the voices
it sounded
too.
Like the same person.
Yeah.
For every single character.
That was.
So yeah. It could have been him. Yeah, doing it, which I would not be surprised too. So.
Right.
Do you want to bet he even did the voice of the mummy or the snowman?
Probably. Hey, but you save money, you know.
You save what? How do you save money? Like, because just not having a like I guess, a sound person there. You can get that a lot for cheap, like for free. I don't understand why they...
Well, and then that's the other thing. Again, 20 years, these guys have been putting out stuff. So, you know, whatever date this movie came out, whether it was 2007, 2010, or 2018, after 20 years worth of stuff, you would have thought by now they would have had a better
feel. So are you going to watch one of his newer movies and see if they're actually any good, if he's learned?
This is the newer movie.
What? No. No.
It had to have been before 18, because one of the shops in the background downtown...
Is gone?
Is gone.
Okay. Okay. Well, the sign that's there, I recognize that.
I will try to do some more research. I did try to friend him on Facebook. Hopefully that will happen, and maybe we can talk to him.
Probably not. Charles, retire!
I'll see if I can't maybe get him an interview on a Spotlight.
Oh, God. He's going to have to listen to this then.
That's okay. I'm sure we're not saying anything that anybody else who's seen this movie has said, because, I mean, come on. It's just... It's an incoherent mess. Now, some people are going to find that fun, and other people are just going to be appalled by it. It all kind of depends on your temper.
I feel like that's the mixture here. You know, some people find it fun, and some people are appalled by it.
What about the music? The music is definitely a big thing in this film.
I had hopes for it in the beginning, going to be honest, like at the very, very beginning. During the beginning of the credits. Mm-hmm. I was there for it, and I was like... Okay, maybe. And then it stopped. And then it became another track. And then it was two of them. It was the choir mixed in with the fake mummy music that you would expect to hear in the, you know, maybe like the old PlayStation 1 Tomb Raider type bullshit. And now you got like this going on in the background with Tomb Raider. Hallelujah. So you're like, wait a second.
So you're saying the movie gave you hope and then stabbed you in the heart.
Yeah.
And then we had to hear that one song like twice, and I was so glad they didn't do it three times, the Don Gato song.
Meow, meow,
then I started
meow.
Waiting for it.
I thought it was going to happen again.
After they sacrificed the cat and everything.
Yeah, why didn't they do it again?
Justin, please tell us a little bit of research you did on the Don Gato song.
My Wikipedia research, yeah. It's a Spanish children's song, and it's about Señor Don Gato, who sees a pretty cat and falls off the roof and gets hurt, and they rush him to the doctors, but the doctor can't save him. And at his funeral, they take him by a fish market, and the smell of fish causes him to wake up.
Just like
yes,
the movie.
It does have the meow, meow, meow line in it.
It really does? Yes, oh, my God.
So why do I feel like, sadly, they're mixing in this, like, children's song with that whole, like, you know, the blind man walks past the fish market. Good morning, ladies.
Oh, my goodness. See, we go there. Sometimes we go there.
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so the music is definitely, and then, you know, a lot of the spaghetti western sort of tropes are thrown in there, that, and all the other kind of
little bits. And
the maracas. I know you loved the maracas.
The maracas.
You definitely got that.
And zoo.
But a lot of it was just not really appropriate for the scene, which, again, if you're doing it to be funny, it's one thing, but if you keep doing it over and over and over, the joke just, it becomes shredded after a while.
Yeah.
Like the amount of eye contact between the sheriff and his deputy.
A lot of
eye contacts or zooming on the eyes and everything. That was spaghetti western stuff. But like, I mean, even spaghetti westerns know when to stop. I just laughed my butt off when they did the eyes with the witch. You know, they had the eyes on the witch, the eyes on the interpreter him, and then they went to the sand thing, and I'm like,
the hourglass.
I was like, is that supposed to be in eyes too, or something?
But did you realize the zooming in was also slow?
They should have done. They should have.
One of the problems is it was a slow zoom in.
Right,
everything
is slow and exaggerated.
Been a lot quicker, and then it would have been funny.
Now that I think about it,
they should have done the bat.
Probably was all intentional then, because I feel like putting the hourglass in there with all the slow zooms in on the eyes. That feels like it was done fully intentionally.
I'm right there.
So
with
now
you.
I'm mad about it.
Well, I think that they should have done the bat. Have the bat have the slow eyes on the bat. You know, if you're going to have the witch. Yeah, because if you're going to do comedy, do it like that. Feel like they've missed the mark, because, like, with them saying the intentional and doing that, I think they tried to make a joke and it just failed because you know you didn't get it. No, but if there were like little eyeballs time. On the thing or something, that would have been funny. And
put little googly eyes on the freaking hourglass. I
would have laughed.
I guarantee too, like, you, Charles Cullen and his group, when they saw the movie at the end, when this was all finally done, they all sat and laughed their asses off from beginning to end. Because to them, it all makes sense. Now, to the rest of the world, there's a problem.
It didn't make sense to you?
No, not at all.
To the rest of the world, now, you have to sit there and wonder, what drugs were you on?
I do get a lot of it. And I did get enjoyment out of it. And I knew that that level of funny non-humor was going to be torment for you guys, which is why I saved it and saved it and saved it and brought it here, because it's just...
And you just had to bring me on
the Timing was perfect.
What did
Paige.
I ever do to you?
Your timing was perfect.
You said yes.
You said yes to the dress, and now you gotta wear it.
Well, I mean, I guess if the shoes fit, you feel free to lace
there
those
you
bitches
go.
Up and strut.
I know, exactly.
So... On that note, I guess we get to the point where we can give this movie a rating. So
are we already at that part already?
We're at that part.
See, this went faster than the fucking movie did.
Oh, yeah. Without the same thing going over and over and over. So, just to explain to everybody, we have a rating system on what goes from 1 to 10, where 1 is a low score because you don't think it's very stinky. In fact, you think it's probably a pretty good movie. All the way up to 10 because there's a whole big fat barrel of stink involved and... You could go, you know, 5 if it's in between, and you could even do a half step if you want. Uh-huh. And then at the end of the season, which, by the way, this is the season 3 finale, so this is the wrap-up for season 3, we will then, on the wrap-up show, discuss which film for the season 3 happens to be the stinkiest. Mm. Now, in this particular season, we've had several pretty bad critters in here. We've had a couple of...
We've had 2, and almost one was close.
Almost a third one.
Almost a third one, so.
I'm very curious to see how you guys score this film. Now, we're only going to go with 3 scores, but Paige, you can give us a score, too, just for the heck of it.
No. She'll be the third one. I'm going to... They'll bow me out.
Oh, you're going to bow
yeah,
out?
Because you've had... I noticed on doing while doing this that you've done that before when you've had an extra guest or whatever, like when we had Julianne mm-hmm. or whatever. You've had me out when you're the host. So I think that's a really good. At first, I was mad. I was like, "What the? She cut me out." Then I'm like, "Well, then you can't bring in the other guests."
Right. It's always
got to
be 3 in order to make
right.
all the scores the same.
So when you have, I say we bring. Page in for that, but you can also take my vote because
it's previously season 2 we had the problem because after just Jen left we didn't really have anybody there, so we only had
so
2
blame
scores.
Jen
we only had 2 scores, and that's why we had to bring in others, and then we had to do things later on.
See, I me leaving allowed you to bring in others to this, so I'm sorry.
Blame Jen.
But everybody here is free to give their scores, and I want to hear what you guys have to say. So, Jen, it's been a while. I'm going to you
this
first.
This is the absolute worst one I've seen.
Really?
I'm
worst?
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Wow.
For me, it's the worst. It was so boring. If there was any intentional humor, I didn't catch any of it. The fact that you're saying there probably was, for me, makes that worse. It was so terrible.
So you're saying it's
so
a 9.
Boring. Like, I considered going for a walk around the block, and then when I came back, I wouldn't have missed anything.
Probably wouldn't have.
And kind of...
I can't believe
you
found something worse. There's more suffering than Neil Breen.
Yeah. Well, at least with Neil Breen, I can kind of try and figure out what philosophy he's trying to give to the world. This one...
So okay, you forgot. Wait, you forgot to mention what the scoreboard was. So that Paige, she doesn't know, right? You don't know what the score.
She's looking at it.
No, but it's 10 is the worst.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he said that.
Okay,
yeah,
you
said
that. All right.
So what's your score?
10.
10?
10.9.
Okay. 10.9. May as well go ahead, Moody. May as well give us a score.
I'm gonna say 10.
Okay. Really?
Yep. What, you want me to go lower, you know? No way.
Boy, I thought you were going to give a 10 to Creeping Terror like the rest of us did, but you, for some reason, thought it was great.
I didn't think it was great. I didn't think it was a 10, though. Like,
it's fair. Miss Paige, your first score on your first film. What do you get? What score are you giving?
Oh God, that's not fair. All right, so I see you guys usually do. What do you do? Point systems. You got like 0.5 and stuff. All right. Room for improvement. This is my first time. I'm gonna give it a 9.5.
Okay. Wow.
Interesting.
I will tell you from experience, it's good to leave a little bit of buffer room there.
Yeah, because I mean, I can't say that I've seen something worse than this.
Not yet.
Hang around long enough.
So that's why I'm like, I can't give it a full on 10. Room for improvement. Something might beat you out as the trashiest thing that I've ever seen.
Now, I'll say this, okay? So I've done that before, too. And I've regretted it. Just giving you the heads up. Because I've watched other ones that he showed me. Like, he showed me a movie called Actium Maximus. And I was like, this is terrible. But, come on. He can't give me, like, a 10 on the first day back from the season. He did. But I said 9.5 because I wasn't sure. I looked back. I did my recap. And I said, I if I could change any scores, I would change that to a 10. Because that was so terrible.
It's the end of the season for you guys. It's the first time for me, so I'm sorry. But we're going to keep it.
That's fair enough.
Fair enough.
I'm just letting you know.
I've been the worst judge of this movie so far.
Yeah.
Aside from, like, because even you, Jen, you tried to give it props a couple of times.
Yeah.
I think you tried.
Yeah.
Paul, we all know that you did.
Props, baby, props.
And I mean, I just keep begging for, you know, Charles to retire. So, I'll be nice. Room for improvement, 9.5.
Okay. You may see Neil Breen and decide that that one is much worse than this.
Yeah, you may not like Neil Breen more, you know.
People say she may like it?
No, may like this more than Neil Breen.
That's true.
And of course,
I'm giving it a 10 because this is a huge 10 for me. It's just
a stinker, but
that's
surprising.
I love it. I love it.
But where did that come from?
Like a 9, honestly.
But he likes those, like, when he picks a 10, unless it's just a really, like, even, okay, so we had a movie called Ankle Biters. Yeah. He fell asleep to the movie. He fell asleep during the movie, and he still gave it a lower number than whatever.
It was
a
better movie.
It was a better done movie than, like, this movie, you know? But it still put him to sleep. It still bored him.
Right.
So this doesn't put him to sleep. I don't know why it put me to sleep, you know? But it didn't put him to sleep, so he likes this kind of stuff.
The sharing of pain and torment.
Again, I'm going to have to bring it back and say, Paul, get help.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds almost unanimous. We got to pick a score. We'll probably, you know, we'll definitely get 3 scores, that is. But in the meantime...
Oh, God, just take your 3.
It is Christmas, and I do have little prezzies. So, first of all, everybody gets some chocolatey goodness.
Aww, thank you.
And as a matter of fact, we were supposed to have other folks showing up, and they didn't show. And that means you guys all get extra chocolatey goodness.
Okay, extra chocolatey goodness.
And then, finally, there's a couple of prezzies that I got way back in June. And, I saw them. I was not looking for them. They were kind of perfect. I think God sent these things to me because there's no other way I can explain it. And I know we generally are not, you know, doing whole gift things. I know it's been a bad, rough COVID year and all that, but I saw it, and there's just no way I could pass it.
I'm kind of scared.
Yeah.
Now, honestly.
I give these to you, and I'm hoping that you will enjoy them one way or another.
Oh, God.
And there you go.
Okay. Well, you know which ones are which or something? Or does
I do.
Matter?
I do. Okay. That's why you guys have different colors.
Okay.
This way I know.
Oh, God.
And Merry Christmas, Indie Film Cafe style. Santa Cal's brought these especially for you guys. And,
Oh, my God. What is this? What in the
world?
Same shirt. What are they? Oh, God! Neil Breen shirts. How did they make these?
Yes!
Where did they get these?
What the
I immediately thought of you guys. My friends, my bosom buddies.
This is terrible.
Where did you find something like this?
Did you make this yourself?
No, I did not. Oh, I can only wish I could take it. Now, I'm hoping the sizes are really close to you guys.
It's men's I probably largest. Would have been a medium, but it's okay. Like, I'm not going to wear this outside.
Come on. You guys got to proudly wear these. We got to get a picture of the two
and
of you.
And I was actually feeling guilty, like I didn't bring any presents or anything.
No.
Like, you should know by now.
Ugh. Oh, my God.
Outstanding.
The
you can proudly wear that to work. And, you know, all your professional things.
Oh, yes. As I'm showing the house for the wedding, I'm like, yes, and you can get married here.
Right.
While I'm wearing this shirt.
Someone's face.
You can see why I, again, no self-control. I could not stop myself.
Stop stealing my line.
I know. You're making it look like that's a good thing.
Where would
isn't
you
a
find
good
something like this?
Online is everything. Okay. I don't, what is that joke 504 rule? You know, there's some on the internet is something for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, Merry Christmas, everybody,
oh
and
God.
Thanks everyone for joining us at Indie Film Cafe. Be sure to.
Oh
to
God!
Stick
did
around.
You get one for yourself?
No, not
what?
Yet. I will. I at some point.
That's so messed up.
Just you guys. I know you guys are bit much bigger Neil Breen fans.
What? No. Oh.
Anyway.
Now we gotta find those cow suspenders for him.
I know. No, but see, the problem is he'd wear that proudly.
Yes, I would.
I know.
I'd wear Neil Breen suspenders proudly.
Oh.
Anyway, thanks everybody for joining us. The next program is going to be the season wrap-up. Please join us for that. And we will see you next time on Indie
and next
Film
year. See you next
Cafe.
Year.
That's right. 2020.
Year. Better year.
2021.
2021. There you go. Thanks, Paige, for joining us. I hope you had a fun time.
Oh, definitely.
And we will see everybody later. Bye.
Bye.
Sing the backwards cow.
No.
Come on, sing it.
Nope. Won't
sing
do
it.
Won't do it.
Sing it.
You can sing it.
I forget.